Okay, the bell for class has rung, so we might kick off. So my name's Laurel Kong. I have the pleasure today of introducing Dmitry Semenovich. He's going to be presenting to us on a unified approach to reserving and pricing, but before we get into that, a little bit of detail about Dmitry. So Dmitry's recently completed a PhD in computer science, so congratulations, and he's working as a data scientist with the Commonwealth Bank. Prior to that, he was a machine learning researcher with NICTA, a national lab, specialising in information and telecommunications technology. He began his career in general insurance and is broadly interested in insurance methodology, and he's presented several papers, both here and overseas, on the use of mathematical optimisation techniques in premium rating. So thank you, Dmitry, for writing this paper, and I'll hand over.
Thank you. Yes, apologies for the sort of rather grandiose name here. I hope people won't be disappointed, because really this is just a very simple reminder about the different kind of variations of what is essentially a chain ladder model, and how it can be sort of directly extended to incorporate risk factors. So the overview of the talk, right, is that it's been kind of known for certainly since about 1975 or thereabouts, so 40 years, that you can, the chain ladder solution is actually can be interpreted as a, maximum likelihood estimator in a Poisson regression. Maybe at the time, GLMs weren't commonly used for rating directly. So anyway, it kind of went, it was never fully incorporated, like that observation was never fully incorporated into actual practice. And when actuaries started using GLMs, they carried on, having spreadsheets with triangles and things like that. Certain purveyors of special purpose software have worked hard to keep them doing it. Just basically I'll show how you can easily do reserve, basically allow for claim development in pricing style models, and how that relates to chain ladder. There are some people who, I guess some actuaries in general insurance, who only do reserving, who only do pricing, and maybe there it is kind of justified to have a methodological separation, but very often, the same person, 1 minute they are, fitting a GLM, and the other minute they are doing some kind of triangle, and then they're taking the factors and multiplying the GLM outputs, so things like that, right? So that's people often do that, which is kind of very strange, because you can just change your GLM specification, and it'll allow for claim development. In general, if your portfolio is, perfectly stable and uniform, and nothing's happened, in the last 10 years, then, chain ladders is pretty much as good as, it's not going to get any better than the chain ladder. So maybe there is no real benefit in incorporating any risk factors at all. If there is a known kind of changes in exposure, it might be worth to putting that in. The canonical way of doing this in kind of reserving is just to split your portfolio into smaller and smaller subgroups and do reserve separately. But again, that's not really optimal. You can only split so many ways. From kind of pricing point of view, ability to model claim development, I guess, allows you to get, policy level IBNR. And, if you have policy level IBNR, it makes, some kind of monitoring, type reports, so much easier, because you can basically have, estimate of the ultimate cost, as for recent cohorts of business. Start off by reminding how to represent chain ladder as a Poisson regression. If you have a usual sort of claim triangle where the Ys denote some kind of realized incremental claim experience. So it can be counts or paid or incurred. With the Poisson regression specifically, the restriction on the Ys is that they have to be positive. It's possible to get rid of it, but several ways to get rid of it. Like the obvious way, one simplest way is to just increase them all by the by the amount equal to the largest negative movement or something, and they'll become positive. And then not forget to subtract it out. If you want to do that, you could. So what happens, right? So how do you represent, go from the triangle and the usual, chain letter factors, how do you go to a regression, right? And it's kind of very simple. So you take every entry in the triangle, okay, and that becomes your dependent variable. So, all the Ys from the triangle have been rearranged into a column, okay? And then your design matrix X, well, you have, each row. The number of columns in this matrix is corresponds to the number of accident periods plus the number of development periods, okay? And each row has two ones, okay? One in the position corresponding to the first index, and the other one kind of like in the position corresponding to the second index, offset, by the number of accident periods, right? So this block of columns corresponds to development periods, and this one to accident periods. You have in this case 8 coefficients. Again, the kind of alphas correspond to the to accident year ultimates, and betas correspond to proportion of the ultimate observed in each year. Then what you do is to just make a stand. Okay, so you say that Ys are have a Poisson distribution, and you write down it's just the standard Poisson GLM with log link. So the mean is the exponent of the parameters. If you look in the books, right, it's on this, usually it's not, usually those matrices X and the parameter vector W are not explicitly constructed. Instead, there is the representation, they use specially denoted coefficients for origin and the development periods. But it's actually the same thing. If you take these x's, they're only each x is a row vector. It only has two non-zero entries, and if you give special names to entries of W, you'll get back exactly that. But that's one potential source of confusion if you look at the kind of classical treatment in the literature. It was a 4x4 triangle, so we had 10 observations. Assuming all observations are independent, that's the likelihood of the observing the entire triangle. And then if you take the log, it's basically taking the log of that, you get this. That's very easy to follow. It doesn't really matter. We get the corresponding log likelihood, and then we do the, you can do like a maximum likelihood estimator is the solution of this optimization problem. The log of Y has gone away because it doesn't depend on W. This problem itself kind of doesn't have a unique solution because there is this kind of dependency between accident year and development year coefficient, so by multiplying, well, in this case, by adding a constant to all the alphas and subtracting the same constant from all the betas, you get the likelihood term stays the same. So you have to introduce an additional constraint, and one way to make that constraint is to, like, make alpha 1, well, equal to the log of all the claims incurred, or basically the sum of the cumulative total for the origin year 1. That's one way of doing it. Actually, any one constraint on any of the coefficients will yield a solution, but it'll be different from chain ladder solution. Okay, this gives you a solution which is actually the same as the chain ladder. It'll be kind of tedious to demonstrate it, so I've omitted that. You can check the references in the paper. You can do it in but four lines. And it basically is the solution of this problem, right? The exponent of alpha j is basically the chain ladder ultimate for that accident year, and the exponent of beta k is the proportion of the ultimate observed in the kth development period. So it's a particular reparametrization of what you typically get in the chain ladder. So leaving all that aside, right? Let's just have a look at what a typical pricing GLM look like. Okay, and so we have a, let's say, Poisson distribution with log link, let's say these are claim counts, but the actual structure of the model, as we will see, doesn't really depend on the exact distributional assumption. What you do when you do typical pricing work, you construct this data set, okay, where you more or less have a row per policy, and each row you will have your maybe risk factors, and then you would have claim count or claim amount incurred during that exposure period matched on. And you may also have a weight that tells you the length of exposure on that policy. Like maybe if some policies are, if they're not all like exactly 1 year or something like that, right? So what you have is, the max, the derivation of this is exactly the same as on the previous slide. So you get this, your maximum likelihood estimation problem, is this kind of optimization problem. That's what your regression software solves, okay, for behind the scenes. What's actually interesting, right, that's kind of pertinent to extending, to adding claim development into the basic pricing model is this observation that if you have two rows in your data set where the risk factors are exactly the same, your parameter estimate will not change if you combine the two rows together. If you replace two rows with a single row and all you do is you add up the whatever claim amounts or claim counts, and you add up the exposures. At least for the case of the Poisson distribution, for the special case of the Poisson distribution. Doing that, you can basically compress your data set, and it will not affect the solution that you get. The maximum likelihood estimate of W. Just leaving that aside, right, for the second, but we'll come back to it on the very next slide. So how do we incorporate some kind of claim development into a pricing model? It's really a simple way. You take each row in your original pricing data set and you actually replace it with a triangle, okay? You split it by exposure periods that the policy was active for and by the development periods, okay? So you take the total amount, incurred on policy one and you work out you know, what was the maybe claim amount, incremental claim amount paid, or maybe incurred claim numbers reported, you know, during, you know, exposure year one, exposure year two on that policy, and, you know, during the first year, second year, first year, and so on and so on. So this is just an example with a tiny 2x2 triangle, but it can be quite a bit larger, okay? It's exactly the same thing what you do when you do a regular triangulation, but instead of the portfolio, you just, your portfolio consists of a single policy, and you do it for every policy. Okay, and then all you do is you basically apply the same representation. Okay, as we had originally, so you do this encoding where you represent, you put all the entries of the triangles into, you know, one big column, and you have your design matrix just has ones and zeros in the positions corresponding to the accident and development periods. Then it turns out that if you do that, okay, so if you do this at the policy level, you have thrown away all your risk factors, okay, you've only split your claim counts or claim paid, and your design matrix just has entries that correspond to the origin and development period of those payments, then actually you can combine the just using that early observation about removing rows where the risk factors, you know, are the same. You can use that to basically say that earlier problem is actually equivalent to this, you know, much smaller problem where you no longer have, you know, a row for each you know, cell in the triangle for every policy, but instead you only really have a single, you know, 2x2 triangle in this case, and all the weights are summed up and all the claim amounts are summed up. So actually the solution to this problem is the same as the, you know, chain ladder weighted by, you know, earned exposure. That's the maximum likelihood solution to this kind of Poisson regression with these with this data, yeah, is equivalent to the solution of the to chain ladder, you know, weighted by earned exposures. So if you had that's kind of interesting, right? Because so we started out by this kind of policy level data set, and we formed the regression at policy level, and it got reduced essentially to standard chain ladder. But now, all you do from there is you take the, you go back, okay, so the previous step, okay, was only done to show the equivalence with chain ladder, but what you do is you simply go back and you add in all your risk factors into that original data set where you have broken down your claim amounts into origin and development periods. So now you have essentially a regression problem that allows for development and for the risk and also for the risk factors. If you fit this model, yeah, you'll get your usual kind of, you'll get your accident year effect and development year effect, and then you'll have a bunch of other effects that tell you something about the, you know, like frequency or cost. There is no longer a closed form solution, but this is kind of easily handled by the sort of GLM software. If you look at that basic model specification, it's also easy to kind of to modify it to add kind of extra things, right? So you may want to add interaction terms between development curves and some kind of aspects of of risk, right? In the extreme characteristic, in the extreme case, if you only have a single risk factor and that like denotes, let's say, some kind of policy type, okay? And if you do a full interaction between development, between policy type and accident and development period variables, you get back a model that gives you fits a separate chain ladder for every subclass. Exposure weighted chain ladder for every subclass. So that's kind of the same thing as doing, separate models for every cell. There's clearly other possibilities there that might make sense depending on what you're trying to do. So you can also take this thing and you can extend this construction to some other methods like PPCI. Okay, so like for example, if you look in even Greg Taylor's book on loss reserving, there is an example of how to model PPCI via regression. You can just take that and use this specification and get to the results. So it's also you can use things like additive models to actually smooth the development curves. It kind of helps you deal with over-parameterization. The reason for actually using Poisson distribution is solely to highlight the relation to the chain ladder so that you get, exactly the same result in the limiting case of no risk factors. But if you omit that, then, you can use a 3D distribution. You can model cost of claims directly and things like that. The question might be how do you actually use this this model, right? If you fit a model using this specification and then you want to work out what the cost of claims is going to be for a new policy, right? You're no longer just scoring a single row, but instead you are completing the triangle in the reserving terms, right? So you have to look at all the accident periods during which the policy will be active, and then look at corresponding development periods and summing them up. That's if you already have some. That's already if you have some exposure, and if you don't, you have to do the full kind of rectangle thing. So one policy now maps onto multiple rows into this setup. Kind of have to be a bit careful. That's really the main thing. In the synopsis it promised to do a case study, but unfortunately we've run out of time, and we didn't do a good case study. But there is no real reason not to try it, right? Because it's not hard to believe that there are many situations that either chain ladder or like a pricing GLM isn't necessarily the best thing to do, but something in between is might be more appropriate, right? So that's the main claim. That is all from me. Well, thank you very much.
Is this on? Okay, now we do have the opportunity to ask Dimitri some questions. As I'm sure you've heard many times over this conference, if you do have a question, please step up to the microphone because we do actually record the session. If I can start with a question for you, Dimitri. In terms of linking the two methods together, I guess, what do you see as the key advantage of actually using a unified approach to both of them? What are the gains in doing that?
The obvious gains to my mind is that you get policy level ABNR, which can be helpful. And if you want to if you want to do reporting on subgroups of exposure, which is a frequent requirement. it gives you a way, basically a way to gradually go from some kind of pricing result to something like a reserving view, and maybe so it gives you some basically gives you a way to construct some intermediate results between them, maybe if you want to understand better about how the two might relate, you know, so that's potentially worthwhile. And obviously the big limitation of all triangle-based methods is that, they just don't explicitly deal with any changes in exposure profile, whereas you... And if there is a change, I mean, it's kind of up to the person doing it to somehow bring that in, which may or... Yeah, so, but it's easy to even forget or not to realize that that's because you've never even seen what the exposure looked like at risk factor level, you know. So there are some advantages, I guess, to this. The word, probably the biggest, even people do allow for claim development in pricing work, so they do their own valuations using chain ladder, and I mean, that's some kind of a bit silly, in my view.
It's like an efficiency thing.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have a question for Dimitri? Cool. If you can just state your name at the beginning as well. And sorry, Dimitri, I probably should get you up to the microphone. Apologies.
King IAG. So my understanding is that you are saying so you can capture how reserving stands through the design matrix in how I capture dynamics of the development factors in chain ladder. So you're saying in pricing we've got GRMs.
Yeah.
So in addition to that, if you introduce a development factor for the claims payment patterns, the two can combine. So you can have basically a GRM/chain ladder system where it considers the payment development. It also considers a rating factor.
Yeah.
But would you say, so you also mentioned that the design matrix is larger, so therefore it's less... you have to solve it with software because it's going to have to find the best fit. One solution that fits exactly.
Yeah.
But would you say wouldn't that give you a different result to if you were doing a chain ladder which didn't consider the rating factors?
Well, absolutely, yes. It will give you a... So if there are no additional rating factors, you'll get the same result as exposure-weighted chain ladder. If you introduce additional factors, yes, you'll get a different result. But, I mean, the claim is it might be a somehow better result. Okay. Well.
So it's an intermediate state that has features of a chain ladder, including pricing factors, and so also different to the pricing result because it has... payment development.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, depending how you've allowed for claims development in your pricing as well, right? So maybe you've inflated your some kind of claims, you know, by some factor you've got from a chain ladder, or maybe you just omitted all the data. So you'll get result which is different from those other extremes. Yeah, but the neat thing is that what you can actually do, right, is that you can come up with a series of results, right, in this setting. So you can start out with a kind of like a chain ladder result, then you can introduce risk factors, and then you can score this all on some kind of, you know, book of business, and then you can see how the answers change as you introduce extra things, and they're kind of comparable. So
it's a new methodology to consider.
Yeah, okay, no, thank you.
Would anyone else like to ask a question? Excellent. Step right up.
Ian Heppel, Suncorp. Dimitri, I was wondering if you could use this methodology perhaps in a situation where, for reserving purposes, you want to look at quite a large portfolio across perhaps, but maybe for reporting purposes, you're wanting the answer for each brand.
It certainly sounds something relevant to Suncorp. I think that's right. I mean, you could do this to basically this gives you a way to do reports. So you could put a brand as a factor. Right, you don't have to have separate triangles per brand, but then if you do that, you basically then you get some kind of IBNR numbers at policy level, and you can add them up anywhere you like, right? Preserving the
conceptually, you could even, if the wordings were different or you had some other reason, you could even have a different development patterns underneath.
That's right. So you have an interaction with the development pattern. Yeah, you'd probably want some kind of smoothing there if you do that. But yeah, and I mean, it's really within. Yeah, I think doing something like, or at least trying something like this, is within the realm of kind of capability or sort of standard. So you should be able to do it with standard software. It doesn't, because you only get maybe extra. Basically, I think the size of your data set maybe increases about maybe 8 to 10 times on average. So it's possible to handle for, you know, a few problems. One thing that I guess I haven't really addressed is how to allow for claim characteristics. So the additional information that is revealed at the time claims are reported. And then, I mean, one way to do it is you can have I think the simplest way to do it is to have a separate case, statistical case estimation model, and then you take the results from that and use that to populate your triangles. But anyway, if anyone's interested in actually trying this, I'll be interested. Okay.
Anyone else like to ask a question? If I can just throw in one other one, I mean, Presumably you still need to have quite a bit of data for this, so it would be suitable for some class of business, but not necessarily those with data sparsity issues.
Well, I mean, I think it's actually, if you look at it, right, it's suitable for any problem where chain ladder, I guess, is suitable. Or, in fact, doing something like this allows you to say, actually requires less data, okay? If you have a portfolio that is somewhat heterogeneous, right, but maybe there's also some plausible similarities in there, right, you're actually using data more efficiently by having this type of specification rather than the, just doing separate chain ladders for the subgroups. So there is, I think it's actually possible to make an argument that in some situation you may need less data rather than more data.
Okay. Any last questions before we wrap up? Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for your attention. Please do the traditional thing and thank Dimitri for presenting to us today on an interesting topic.